platoon sergeant with 3rd Platoon Alpha Company, 3rd Anti-Tanks. I am presently assigned in support of 3rd Battalion, 26th Marines. Mission here at Quezon in support of 326 is for NI personnel support with the Yontos. Prior to coming to the Quezon combat area, myself and platoon were at Contien in support of 1st Battalion, 1st Marines, and also 2nd Battalion, 1st Marines. The platoon was at Contien 2 months prior to moving to Quezon in January. We arrived at Quezon. We arrived at Quezon in the middle of the month. Things were fairly quiet at the time until 2 or 3 days afterwards. We started taking pretty heavy incoming artillery, rockets, and so forth, which encouraged us to build better bunkers and living bunkers underground, also fighting holes and parapets for the Yontos along the lines of our perimeter in support of the infantry. We've been doing an outstanding job here in support of the infantry. My platoon alone, I have 3 vehicles for reactionary purposes aboard the base in case of enemy armor attack to our perimeter. The other 2 vehicles in the platoon are assigned with Dunbar County 326 and reactionary for battalion support. The platoon headquarters is located within the company area, along with the 3 reactionary vehicles. Lately, the company area has been taking quite a few incoming rounds and damaging our living bunkers. We're in the process now of getting our living bunkers built underground. Prior to our coming here, they were built level with the ground, which isn't too good for incoming rounds. What makes it bad, I believe, is the COC bunker is being right near our company area, and we believe it's drawing a lot of the incoming rounds. Also, on the other end of our company area, we have a 155 battery, which helps to draw a lot of incoming rounds. As far as support with the vehicles and supply, it's hard getting parts or any supplies into the Quezon area due to the fact that all supplies brought in here has to be brought in by helicopter and planes, C-123, C-130s. The planes have been having a hard time coming in. When they land, hit with barrages of mortar fire and rocket and artillery. We've had quite a few planes, helicopters, damaged on the runway, along with jet aircraft being shot down in support of the perimeter. The supplies coming in now are mostly airdropped with parachutes and then brought inside to the perimeter.
Fred Sweats, platoon mechanic, 23245433, 3rd Anti-Tank Battalion, 3rd Platoon. My job here is platoon mechanic. One of our biggest problems here would be getting parts for the Yontos that have taken some shrapnel or something like that, where it tears up parts that we have a hard time getting. It wasn't too bad at first. Well, we still had planes coming in at all times. Right now, the only way we can hardly get anything in is mostly airdrops. Sometimes we get planes in, but that's taking mostly ammo. We had quite a few parts on supply, but day before yesterday, supply took a direct hit and burned down one tent. Our other tent had all our supplies in it. Did quite a bit of burning. We lost quite a few parts. At the moment, we're just hoping that none of the vehicles get hurt very bad. We're 39 parts. We have one vehicle that is deadlined already. It's just sitting online, sandbagged in. The engine still runs, but very poorly. We have to send for a new engine. We're waiting it now. The only way we can fire the thing at the moment is to, can't move it or nothing. We had one before that the only way we could fire it was with lanyards, but we were able to get that repaired already. We have two vehicles left in the rear. One of them took a hit right beside it the other day, and it messed the side of it pretty much. Thing still runs, but we're still having a little trouble with that side channel lineup being all messed up, and we're afraid it might break down before too long. We planned on maybe changing the engine in that with a bad engine and the one that was deadline. We're afraid that if we get the two pigs, the two Antos together too close, that we might get too much RDN. Somebody could get hurt real bad. We get RDN, we don't have much time to hit for holes, and there's always one guy has to work on the inside of the vehicle. The guy on the inside wouldn't have too much time to get out and grab his gear and run. And if he stayed in the vehicle, it was too easy for the shrapnel. Could come through the back doors pretty easily. Could really hurt somebody. We haven't quite decided yet whether we're going to trade engines or not. We're just probably just let it sit there and wait for another vehicle, for the other engine to get up here. We don't know just how long it'll be before it gets up here, though. Our area has been getting hit pretty hard right now. We don't hardly have much chance to work as we'd like to. There's a lot of things that could be done, but we have to have the vehicles ready to move out. When I first got here, I was working in headquarters platoon. It's just a platoon mechanic for headquarters where we took all the vehicles from both platoons in here. But not anymore now. I used to live in a tent, and that was why we're getting, when we got income, it was always mostly down near regiment. Anymore, it's coming up here. First started out, we used to sleep through the incoming until I moved right to the 3rd platoon. We started getting a lot of incoming in our own area. Now, as soon as we get the word incoming or arty-arty-arty or something like that, we're moving for holes. We don't dare stick around in the open anymore at all. One of the jobs we do the most over here is we really do a lot of hole digging, getting our bunkers underground. It's one of our troubles is all the bunkers when we got here were built above ground. Makes it that much easier for an out of rocket to come in and wipe it out. I believe if all our holes had been underground, we wouldn't have had quite as many casualties. I think they should get all the people out of the tents around here and get them bunkers or something like that, some protection around it. We have to salvage all the parts we get when we try to build something. Even the wood is getting difficult to come by. We go out on runs every now and then when we make airdrops and try to collect plywood and stuff like that so we can put it on the inside. We have a little trouble sometimes getting sandbags. It takes quite a few sandbags to build a bunker. Try to put those around the sides and put 55-gallon drums full of dirt around the sides, put rocks around the sides, and anything else we can get up there that'll stop shrapnel or something like that. Lately we've been filling 155 powder canisters with rock, putting them on top of our, putting them around our bunkers and on top of our bunkers. That way if an artillery round or a rocket comes in, it's likely to detonate up there and prevent it from coming through the roof of the thing. At least that's what we're hoping it'll do.
This is Corporal Slane, service number 2289-172, Antos crewman up here at K-Sound. Been up here since January 11th, came up from Cantan. When we got here, the company here, most of the bunkers and all around K-Sound were up on top of the ground and not very good for incoming rounds. That's one of the bad things that we found. And we're trying to cure that right now by digging fighting holes next to our living quarters for down on the ground and to hope it stops shrapnel, maybe save some lives. One of our most needed for supplies up here is food and ammo. They keep trying to blow in our ammo dumps and down to 2 meals a day, and sometimes they blow out the water pump and get water rationed, but we've got it pretty good here compared to the hills up around, and better than it was at Cantan in September. my job here as an Atos crewman, I was OC of a vehicle, and during the day we'd clean guns and just general maintenance on it to keep it in top running shape as much as we could, and stand guard at night on the perimeter. And
my name is Corporal Reese. I'm an Atos commander of Alpha 3-5. My job is just, I'm a gunner of my Atos. We have three men, myself, driver, and loader. Before I came up here, my tour was based mostly around Contine, and I heard I was coming here. Thought I was going to, skate, I guess. The tour was pretty easy up here.
My job is,
when we got in up here, we started digging in. Suppose we got hit in the 18th, 21st, we did get hit. Just over here, we've been dug in before we got here. It wasn't, so we're busy digging in now during the incoming. And right now, my crew and myself are building a bunker. My pig got hit about 2 days ago around down in the hole. Just put shrapnel all through the side of the pig. It's about a quarter inch of steel. So you can imagine what it would do with a helmet or a flak jacket. Tore the steel all up, tore my track up. Parts are kind of hard to come by from my pig or any other pig up here. Most of what we're doing during the day here is just working on pigs, keep the guns in good shape, keep the pigs in shape, or reactionary. If something happens on the lines, we have to move out and get out there as fast as possible, so the pig has to be running real good. So our day's kind of busy, and like I said, lately we've been digging in, throwing sandbags, building bunkers. Day is mostly busted up by that incoming artillery. We try and do a straight day's work. Rounds come in, just mess everything up. You have to go in a hole, you have to sit there for a while, and it really slows you down. You can't get as much done as you really like to. Two convoys, out 219, which is Hill 558, since I've been up here. Hold on. Yeah, same, we're on two convoys, that's 558. Weren't bad, it was kind of fun, got to see some of the scenery. But I wouldn't care to go out there now, because I imagine the road's pretty heavily mined, and just goods probably rolling between here and there. So I wouldn't want to go out there. The old roads and ambush site, clear, clear out to there. Wasn't too worried when we went. Went a lot of grunts and had quite a bit of support with us, so we went all along. But now, imagine grass up on either side of the road. You just can't see anywhere. Can't breathe a lot easier once you get back inside the perimeter. All I can think about is leaving here 50 days, and I want to try and make it out through there. I'm kind of worried about getting off the strip when that happens. I've been hitting a lot of planes, but most of them have been coming in the ones they hit. All I can do is pray and hope I make it.
PFC Dunkel, 2377237, Atos Kuma. Well, I've been here since about just the beginning of the middle of December. And until the 21st of January, everything was pretty quiet. We just did regular work, filled sandbags, built bunkers. And just before the 21st, I joined a gun platoon. And that 21st, and that morning, I was on watch when we got hit. And from then on, I've just been changing constantly. A lot of people around me have been changing. Seen me growing up, feeling more mature, a lot faster.
What do you do during the daytime here?
Well, we start out in the morning. Get the Atos is cleaned up, ready for action. Clean the guns, and then the rest of the day we work on our bunkers, build new bunkers, build sandbags, things like that.
Have you had any difficulties here in your job?
Well, a couple days ago, Atos took within 2 or 3 feet already around. And it kind of messed up the Atos. It's, we're having some trouble getting our support arm for it.
My name is?
It should be, soon we'll be okay, but the only problem is those artillery rounds come in and messes a few things up.
Have you had any trouble with the equipment itself besides getting hit by enemy fire?
One time I had a round that was somewhere off one of these Newfoundland shed rounds and it went off by itself. No. It's all the trouble I think we've had. What I learned in school, mental school, is just a beginning. Like something from over there, I've learned accepts a lot more about the answers. It's helped me a lot over here. It's more like on the job. Well, on the job training is a lot. It's better than any school can get it.
Can you describe some of the things you learned here?
Well, timing the gun's one thing I had never done until I got over there. And,
any time to go?
Well, usually I do that with my OC, and that's a good one by myself, yeah. Timing the gun is... I'm not really sure how often we're supposed to do it. We've done it about, on the average, about once a month. Get the guns in action, so fire one right after the other. Do see take off the cradle, just like Tennant said, and there's a timing key.
It used to be that we used to have hot shells.
And we have the bore sight. Bore sighting is that you have to get the guns out. You pick out a target within about 1,000 meters out in front of you. You've got 6.106s, 250s, and a machine gun, the bore sight, and they should all, you sight them in, they should all hit the success target cross right at the 1,000 meters. You use crosshairs on the big guns, and you've got a thing that sit in the back of the tube. It's, I can't think of the name of it right now. It's got a small peephole on it, and you hit it with these crosshairs, put it on, and then you fire once. Until you get right on. All these rounds should cross and hit right there. You say you should hit the target arm at the same time, and then when you fire, your guns are... You can fire all 9 guns at one time, and they should hit the same time. Maintenance. Well, the gun maintenance. Every day we get out and clean our... We give a general cleanup of our breeches on the 106s and our 50s and the 30 caliber machine gun. We take the 30 caliber and 50 caliber spotting rifles apart about every 2 days. They break down the breeches. We should break them down more often. We try to do it about once every 2 weeks. But if it's, we only take one down at a time because of any incoming rounds or any emergency that might come up, we can only take. We can't take more than one down. We should do this more often because the way things are around here, all the dust in it, and we get dirty awful fast. So, we punch the tubes. We try to do it once a week, and it just gets full of dust. The helicopter from there, see up there, at the end of the strip, where it just covers the gun. Well, now we've got all the contacts, we've got them dug in, bulldozers come up. And they've dug quite deep holes, so they're below ground completely. Before this, they're sitting up on top of the ground. And we started, this is before any of this incoming started. The guns were knocked out. One pig alone, there was 3 guns were knocked out. And not only radio equipment, they got these new antennas, and they've been getting knocked off. And we've had a lot of trouble getting new ones. Now we've got them all dug in underground. And then we can, it's better too, when incoming during the day, we can dive underground there, underneath the pigs. A lot more protective.
Hey, Sergeant Ronald Earl Durham, section leader for Bravo Company 3rd Tank Battalion. Serial number is 2062354. Our mission here at Quezon is, these two tanks here are a reactionary force. In case we get hit, these two tanks will go to the area that's being attacked. My job is a section leader. I'm in charge of 2 tanks. Right at the moment, we have a platoon leader with us, and he would be my immediate superior. Before the 21st of January, mainly our main mission was base defense, and now, like I said, we're on this reactionary force.
Have you ever been employed as a reactionary force?
In Quezon?
Yes.
Not yet. We have not moved out yet. We were out in Red Sector for a while, just one tank, and they pulled us in from there to get more tanks together.
Have you had any difficulties with your tanks as of yet?
Just minor things that are regular, normally pop up. We haven't run into any problems. The only problem is working on fizzing income.
One of our main difficulties here is resupply because of the aircraft being shot at and the mount. All our, just out of being a platoon out here, we don't have very much gear, and we have to get all the resupply from the rear. And we need resupply. We're getting what we can. That's about it.
My name is Leonard Paul Coco. Rank, my rank is Lance Corporal, serial number 2340196. Since I've been here at Quezon, I've been attached to 3rd Platoon, 3rd Tanks, Bravo Company.
What is your mission, Bravo Company?
Our mission is right now defending Quezon, and I'm attached to Reactionary Force, 2 tanks, and we're attached to 26 Marines.
What is your individual job?
My job is gunner. It's I haven't done too much gunning yet, but it's not too quiet around here lately. They're expecting be hit, and VA have tanks and a large amount of people around us. They don't know when they're gonna hit us or where, but it's expected sometime soon.
Do you have any difficulties with your tanks?
As far as difficulties, we have trouble with parts, getting what we need for them. As far as operation, we haven't done that much operating, except around the perimeter. And as far as maintenance, we've done pretty good ourselves. As far as incoming, it's been pretty slack these last few days. Since January 20th, we've been getting hit every day, though. And you can hear it just coming in now. It's we haven't had too bad these last few days. Last week we caught around 1,300 rounds, and they've hit our ammo dumps and caused a lot of damage to CP. But as far as tank CP, we've been pretty lucky. We've only had minor damage, and we had a few people wounded, shrapnel wounds, but nothing really bad.
My name is Private Wayne McKinley. I'm a boat fuelman in Quezon. I came up the 18th of December, just before everything broke loose up in Quezon.
What do you do here as a boat fuelman?
Well, up until the attack, we had all the fuel for the trucks and the generators and everything. It's kind of hard now. We don't have nothing but drums left, since all of our tanks and fighting equipment was blown up.
Same.
What type of fuel do you handle?
It's more gas and diesel and all types of oil and kerosene.
Has your operations here differed in any way since the 21st of January?
Yes. Most of the time we just stay in the bunker now. Just go out and unload the trucks.
Have you encountered any difficulties in your job?
Yes, going outside mainly.
With the bulk fuel itself?
It's just the handling part. The drums come in airdrop now, wrapped up in canvas. We have a hard job getting rid of all the canvas and stacking the drums.
Could you explain, once the fuel is dropped, how you go about getting it over here?
It's dropped in the DZ, and the trucks bring it down to us. We just knock it off the trucks if we can't get a hold of a forklift.
How do you stack this fuel to avoid enemy hostile fire?
Well, we have berms dug. We usually stack them one or two high, and long stacks inside the berms.
Are these fuels separated in any way?
Yes, they're separated by two different berms.
What type of equipment do you deploy here?
No type of equipment. We have our own. We have borrowed forklift every once in a while. After the 21st, we didn't have a bunker. The first night we got hit, we just had an open hole. And during the Sunday that we got hit, there was four of us building our bunker in between rounds. We just had to bag and bar our material for it and fill sandbags in between rounds coming in.
What material did you use to build the bunker?
We used beach matting and sandbags and dirt and Air Force pallets that the drums come in on.
Have you been receiving any close hits here?
Yes, a few weeks. Throw the sandbags up on top of our bunker.
What type of rounds were
they? It's already round. Artillery.
Have any men in both you lines been injured?
Yes, one got injured about 3 days ago. He's back down south now.
That's the only casualty you had there?
It's the only one in the boat fuel unit.
How many men in this unit?
Just two now.
Just two men?
Individuals we have in charge of us, we have a Major Nixon, and a Lieutenant Weil. We have a couple of sergeants. Forget his name now.
This is Corporal Gardner, 2261282. Mission of Security Platoon, Quezon Combat Base, is to guard the COC and the Colonel, which, if there's any case of any emergency or a ground attack, we will man the trench line in front of COC. Which, if anything's well, that was about all we'll do, we'll sit there. They break through the lines, we'll to try to knock out COC.
Is that the only job that the security platoon has here?
And that's in case of red alert, not on the any job. We got just about every kind of job.
Build
some bunkers. We do most anything. In fact, do everything. If anything, if a regiment, well, that's what we are, a regimental working party just about. And they always want us to, well, if there's someone's got a bunker need built, well, we go and build it. And they need a new guard someplace, we guard it. Like the water point, they need guarded, well, we guard that. We man over here at night. So I don't know kind of where is we man this post out here in front of COC, two-man post. We have three posts. That's one in front of comm center, COC, two in front of COC. Now we just picked up another today as a guard premise bunker.
How many men are in
security? That's 18, 19.
So how is your job different from before the 21st of May?
Well, 20, we, what? Oh, okay. We got 21 men. Before this shit happened, well, first we was up on 950 for 4 months, we manned 950. Then we would come back down here, they let us skate for about a week, and then we went out here to Rock Quarry. We used to run security for that. And we'd mine some sweep the road out there every morning, stay out there and all the CBs work, but we'd man the perimeter out there.
What type of weapons do you have here?
16, we got 16s and M60.
Have you had any difficulties doing the job here?
Not really. A few men get salt every once in a while, that's about it. But that's to be expected around here.
When you build your bunker, how long does it take and what kind of equipment do you use?
We use shovels, sandbags, runway matting, and it depends on what else they got us doing while we build a bunker.
How long does it usually take to build a bunker?
4 or 5 days, depending on how deep it's got to go.
You haven't had any trouble with cave-ins here, have you?
No, we don't build our bunker with a cave-in.
Have the engineers or anybody assisted you in this job?
No.
USC Santos R. Morales, 2256425. Well, my job here in Bravo Company is to conduct reconnaissance of a the Quezon area. On a patrol, there are about 8 men, usually. And our job is to go out there and see if there's any enemy where the infantry has not been yet. Before January 21st, we had been running patrols, and we were the ones that did the big push off on Operation Scotland. And it's still going on right now. far as operations after January 21st, there hasn't been any. For a simple reason, that we know there's enemy out there. And we've been having too much incoming. And there's no way that we can really get set up for a patrol. Well, right now, things we're doing is we're serving as a reactionary company. If the enemy ever attacks, we'll be reinforcing the lines just about halfway around the perimeter. What we've been doing the most is working on our own area, sort of like making sure that the bunkers can maybe take an incoming round or something. The difficulty that we have encountered here in Quezon has been taking showers. The reason that the water point gets hit every time and there's not very much water left. But as far as supplies goes, we don't have very much of anything. We have our fighting gear.
My name's Thomas A. Krenzer. I'm a PFC. I'm a scout for Bravo Recon.
Could you explain your mission here?
My mission is a scout reconnaissance Quezon area.
What is your individual duty here?
Well, my individual duty is going out with a regular team. Holding reconnaissance and scouting ahead for the division before they set off on any operations.
Have you conducted any reconnaissance patrols after January 21st?
No, we haven't. There has been too much enemy activity, and we know there's enemy out there that surrounded us, and there's no means that we could get out beyond our lines.
What types of reconnaissance patrols are you running before the 21st of January?
Well, before the 21st of January, we knew that they are trying to overrun us. But they sent us out to recon the area over 861 North to find the exact location of their buildup. We found the location, and from there, that's when we started off Operation Scotland, which is going on right now.
You mentioned you spotted the enemy. How did you spot the enemy? What size?
Well, we've had quite a few teams go out, and a lot of them made contact, and many of them said that they have seen quite a few enemy that have been building up around them. And the last patrol went out, they made quite a bit of contact. We had quite a few wounded. And the enemy we predicted had TPQ arsenals with them.
What have you been doing since the 21st of January?
Well, we've been preparing ourselves from different attacks on either sides of the base. We've been building trenches and reinforcing our bunkers. And
how many men are in your company?
Well, that's hard to say. We've had quite a few medevacs. 60 to 70 medevacs. There's about 35 of us left in Bravo Company. We've been reinforced with Delta Company to help us along on these operations, but since we haven't any operations to step up on, we've been serving as reactionary force for the grunts to fill up any gaps that might be loose.
Have you served on a reactionary force?
No, we haven't. Not as yet. We have been running drills outside our lines. We usually have radio watches at night, and some of the times they call a red alert. Red alert is when the enemy are approaching or we're under attack. From there, we assemble to our platoons, and we go out by platoon numbers, assemble on the lines, put on our gas masks, fix bayonets, and wait for the enemy to attack.
Have you had any difficulties in preparing Quezon for an enemy attack?
Yes, we have. We've had quite a few difficulties. Number one is incoming. Once we step out of our hole, we usually get a couple of rockets, artillery rounds in. But we've managed quite a bit to accomplish a lot. As I said, like reinforcing our bunkers, building trenches. Right now we're building more trenches out to our lines for more safety of our men. Right at this moment we're using a French bunker. We're using a lot of French gear that we've accumulated. We've dug up. We've dug up old World War II pineapple grenades, and we found a lot of other things. The 13th is supposed to mark the anniversary of Dien Bien Phu, about the overrunning of it. We have approximately one more day to go.
How do you find these French bunkers? Are they adequate?
They're very adequate. One time we had, we were incoming quite a bit, slacking up for about 2 minutes, then they started hitting us again with volleys of rockets and artillery. I got into the bunker with a friend of mine, and after the incoming, the rockets and artillery come very close to this bunker, but it didn't harm a bit of it. I went back to my bunker, and we got a direct hit. Kill 4 of my friends and wounded 20 others.
How are these bunkers here to construct it?
They're mainly constructed of mostly concrete and cement with some air matting over it. And they're very sturdy.
Start by identifying yourself. I'm Lieutenant Trainer, headquarters company, 26 Marines. One of my additional duties is a mess officer up here. And the major difficulty that we encounter is getting a place for the cooks and messmen to work during the incoming. Before all this started, we had a regular mess hall, a hardback type of structure, but that has since been blown away. So what we're in the process of doing right now is we're trying to get 2 Connex containers dug underground, and we're going to move the mess hall equipment into that, and this will be a place where the kids can work, continue work without having to worry about shrapnel and so forth. As it is right now, we're just working out of a hardback and is not protected. So every time a barrage does come in, these kids have to drop everything and scramble for the nearest bunker. But I feel with the construction of this underground Connex container should alleviate this problem. As far as personnel goes, right now we're just down to 2 cooks and a mess sergeant, Gunnery Sergeant Relier, who's TAD up here with 26 Marines from Headquarters Battalion. And he's been primarily responsible for getting all this stuff set up and done a real fine job of it. As far as the type of food we serve, we're very limited. We had hoped originally to put out 1 hot meal a day, but all we can put out now is just pastry every day. Sometimes we get muffins and things like that. Every day we put out coffee, and sometimes we try and get out soup. But as far as a regular hot meal, say like meat, potatoes, anything like that, it's just impractical. Because number one, it's tough enough getting supplies in here to begin with. And number two, any supplies that do come in, naturally, is ammo and so forth. So we have to be very restricted on what kind of food we serve.